Anybody visiting for the first time this morning? Okay. We got great news this week. Well, I suppose it's, you guys know Anna is expecting our second child, and we went for a scan on Monday, and then they couldn't see what was happening. This was very disappointing. And then we had to go back on Wednesday, and this time the baby was lying in the correct position so they could do all the measurements and check the growth and development, you know, what they, all those things that they do. And then we found out it's a boy. So we're very excited. Now we're going to have one of each. So that's very cool. And then next time you come and join us on the next paintball day. Hey, Jez, we'll pull him in young. Yeah. So that's exciting. Okay, we're going to get into the word. Is this thing not working now? Can I move it around? All right. Sorry. Okay, let's pray as we get into the word. Father, we thank you that we can draw near to you this morning. We thank you that we can come as a family in Christ, God, and we can come into your presence with thanksgiving. This morning we thank you, Lord, that as we draw near to you, Lord, that we can be fully confident that you are good, Lord, and that you meet us where we're at. That we can have a confidence, Lord, that not only do you meet us where you're at, Lord, but you take us from there forward into what you've prepared for us, Lord. That we can come boldly to you, Father, just the way we are, with warts and all, but at the same time knowing that you love us, Lord, and you love us enough not to leave us there, but to take us forward, Lord. And thank you this morning for your word, and I just commit myself, Lord, to you as a living sacrifice, as we sang, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that every word and every meditation of my heart be pleasing to you this morning. I pray that you'd breathe on the word, Lord, and make it life for each one of us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm in a very fortunate position that I'm going to be preaching here next weekend again, so I'm very excited about that. But I want to think carefully. So I've got a few thoughts to share. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but I remember when being newly saved, coming to the Lord, great excitement, you know, lots of things happening, lots of new things, you know, lots of changes, lots of information, lots of experiences. But then I found later on, after a couple of years, I found there's a temptation to kind of fall into a bit of a, or kind of slip into a bit of a, how can I put it? Just maybe, you know, you're getting busy with things, or kind of taking your eye off the, because it's not new anymore, and because it's not such a fresh thing anymore. Now it's kind of, okay, well, this is the way things are. I'm getting used to things. I'm getting used to my relationship with God, getting used to how things work. But it's got a positive effect, but also it could have a negative effect as well. So I'm going to look at a little bit at that this morning. But let's look at an example from Scripture. But before we do that, you know, we've been at the beginning of the year, we looked specifically at the process of discipleship. And I've got good news for you that we will continue to look at that until Jesus comes back. Is that acceptable? Yes? Happy? So we won't preach about it every week, but we will continue to make disciples until Christ comes back. Amen? Good. At least we agree on that. You know what? It's funny, I spoke to a pastor friend of mine. He came to preach here also, Pastor Marcus, remember, a couple of weeks ago? And we were chatting about how we tend to, as church leaders and as Christians even, we're trying to find a place of permanence. So we're trying to get comfortable. So we say, for instance, you're in the worship band and you're trying to build a team and you're trying to find enough players and then you're kind of trying to get more instruments and you want to create a team that's going to be permanent and that's going to be amazing for a long time. And somehow we put pressure on ourselves to do that, but that's not really... It's not really realistic, if you think about it, because God doesn't call us to make things permanent, right? Maybe you're not with me now. But, you know, we go, we try to make things permanent, but actually God has called us to for growth. And growth means we are continually raising up people, we're continually making disciples, we're continually working with stuff that needs to change in ourselves, and we need continually investing into other people who also are growing. So that's a continual process. Okay, so I think as soon as we make peace with that, that's going to be going to take some pressure off, and then nothing's going to be permanent. And we can really enjoy what God is doing. And in with regards to that in discipleship, the process of discipleship, or the process of salvation, if I can say that, starts on the day that we are born again, right? The day when we come into a relationship with Christ. Process of discipleship might start before that, especially if you're from the angle of the person making the disciple. It starts before that. But from the person, from the angle of the person being discipled, the process of salvation definitely starts at the place when we get born again. And that's the moment where Christ's work of redemption starts happening in our lives. So we're born again, so that's an event. Bang. It's a birth, right? It's not something you can evolve. A birth doesn't happen gradually over months. It's there, okay? It can be traumatic. You know, it's a big event. I remember, you know, when Abigail was born, it was different. Before and after, there's a big difference because there's new life. Okay, so that's when we are born again. There's an event that happens, and it starts the process of us being renewed and changed and changed into the image of Christ. And that process will continue. And now, the part of the challenge about this, and this is what I was talking about before, is this word change, okay, and this word growth. And it's not always a comfortable thing, right? It's not always something that is easy. It's not always something that we enjoy. But I reckon as soon as we make peace with the fact that we are continually changing to become like Christ, we're continually growing to become more like Him, we're continually to, you know, becoming more like Him. And again, this will happen until we see Christ face to face. Then we will be changed in an instant. But until then, we can embrace this change. Amen. Now, this is not always easy, but look. Let's have a look at Second Kings. Okay, let's look at Second Kings chapter 5. Let's look at what happens here, and from verse 1. Quite a piece. I'm just going to read through it quite quickly. So stick with me. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus says the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he just departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised that when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." So just pause there. That's quite hectic, right? So at this stage, the Syrians are in charge, basically. Okay, they the powerful military might. And now, it's like, so for instance, for example, say for, you know, America, so powerful global power. And now the king gets his letter saying, "Listen, here you go, heal this guy, no pressure." So he was getting a bit nervous about that. But let's see what happens. Verse 7, it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? So he reckons this guy wants to pick a fight. Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes that he sent to the king, saying, Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So the prophet is calm. Okay. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, Indeed, I said to myself, He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could all the waters of Israel, could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. His servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and all his aides and came to and stood before him, and he said, Indeed, now I know that there is a God in all the earth. There is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he wouldn't accept the gift. Let's go until there. Now, if you see a few things here, and I just want to touch on a few of them. Now, we see firstly this guy, Naaman, he's a powerful guy, right? He's basically the commander-in-chief, basically, or the top general of the armies of Syria. He's got great experience in war, so he's had lots of success. And now this guy comes, and he hears that there's a Lord, that there's a God that can heal him. Okay, so now he comes. Often we read something in Scripture, we hear of something, we say, wow, God, maybe God can do this for me. And then he comes, and he comes to the prophet. But when he speaks to, when he wants to, you know, when he approaches the prophet, it's clear that he's already had some picture in his mind of how it should happen. So often, even before we receive God's provision or God's healing or God's deliverance, some reason we have a picture in our mind of how it should work, right? And then, when it comes, in this case, we see that it's not the way he expected it to happen, right? So Elisha sends a messenger to him. This freaks him out, and he gets upset. And, you know, surely you can speak to me. I'm an important man. You can speak to me face to face. And he reckons, you know, the rivers back home are just as good as these. So often what happens is when the Lord wants to do something in our lives, and we even recognize that, wow, something needs to change here in my life, and the provision of God comes, it's not in the way we expect it. And it's sometimes not through the person we would like it to happen. I don't know if you've had that before. You trust in God for something, and you're extending your faith for something, and then it happens, or something happens, but it's completely different than you expected. Maybe it's through something that somebody that you're not maybe getting on with, or that you have a little bit of offense with, and now suddenly it's almost impossible for you and I to receive what God wants to do because of the way it's happening. Are you with me? It's just me. So we see this very clearly here, and it's amazing. There's a few things that save Naaman in this case. Firstly, in his case, his condition was very public. It's not something you could hide. But still, he had a servant girl in his house, not somebody of authority, just a servant girl that said, listen, there's an answer for your problem. And that's the first thing, is that if we are at a place where we recognize something must change in me. And we all know we must change and we must grow, right? But if there's something specific, then it's important for us to have people in our lives that can say to us, listen, yes, that must change, and actually I can suggest a change. So there must be somebody that can actually speak into our lives, into a place where we recognize, okay, I need help, and this is an avenue of escape. Or this is a way I can receive the provision of God. Whether it means doing a foundational course or growing in a certain area or praying with somebody, but I recognize I need help, and it's to have somebody that can actually say to me, listen, you need to go and pray with somebody, or you know what, this legacy or this liberty course is just the place to kind of deal with this stuff. So that firstly is a place of kind of walking in the light. But the thing is here, this walking in the light requires humility. And this is a big key for us growing and us walking in the things of God and us experiencing the change in our lives. Now, I'm just going to basically take it forward from here. And I remember when I was in the South African Air Force back in the 90s, which is a while ago, what had happened is we had just had a major change in South Africa. And you all know, some of it will know, that we had the apartheid regime, and then we had a massive political change. And for the first time in our history, we had a democratic election where everybody could vote. So massive changes happening, and at the same time in our defense force, we also had massive changes happening. And as you can imagine, some of the guys that have been in the defense force for many years found these changes very difficult. They were used to the way things were, and they were used to doing things in a certain way, and they found this extremely difficult. And we came up with a term for these guys. Okay, for me, I was new, it wasn't such a difficult thing. I was from the new next generation, so it was easier. But we call these guys RTC. RTC. Resistant to change. Okay, so we joked about it a lot, and we had meetings about it, but it was quite a serious matter. And I found, like I mentioned in the beginning, often in our relationship with God, we are also a bit RTC. There's something in us that resists change. It resists often what God wants to do. Not consciously, always. It's not like I decide today, God, sorry, I'm not going to listen to you. It's not like that. It's not like I decide consciously I'm not going to do what God tells me to do. But there's something in us. There are certain things that resist the change that God wants to do. Okay, so I'm going to look at a few of those this morning and trust God for us to see what the provision that He has made for us in them. Okay, so first we've seen in Naaman's life, pride. I'm a big man. I'm important. I've got an idea of how things should happen. Maybe he thought, you know, there's going to be a big stage and lights, and we're going to walk onto the stage, and there's going to be a massive miracle. The guy's just going to do like a wave or something, and then there's going to be the healing is going to be instantaneous, and it's going to be in all the newspapers, and it's going to be amazing. And you know, I don't know what he had in mind, but often, you know, we have something in mind about how God should provide for us, or how God should come through for us. And I just want to challenge us this morning. We need to humble ourselves. Pride can stand in the way of us receiving what God wants to do in our lives. Receiving through whoever person it comes through whichever way God wants to provide for us. And I'm not talking only in terms of deliverance or healing or growth. I'm also we often experience this in physical provision, financial provision. We have an idea of how God should provide, and then it comes, and you think, oh, you know, not this guy. You know, I've kind of been offended with this guy a bit, and now he's wanting to bless me, and I'm struggling to receive it. Sometimes, so just something we need to watch out for. Let's look at James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Now, the reason why I mention this scripture is, we talk about humility. Have you ever heard somebody pray, or have you prayed, Lord, please humble me? Have you heard people pray that? Yes, it's dangerous, guys. Just want to throw it out there. Dangerous prayer to pray. Lord, humble me. Okay? Because you know what? God will answer your prayer. And He will put you in a position that you will be humbled. Okay? And that might, will not be comfortable. It will not be pleasant. It will obviously have the right effect. So praise the Lord. In the end, it will be good. But it's no. There's a good reason why Scripture says various times, humble yourselves. So before we go God to humble us, we are able to humble ourselves. So we can bow the knee. We can choose. We say, God, humble myself before you. Okay? If you've prayed that prayer and you're getting nervous now, don't worry. Okay? but Scripture says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. And then I want to add to that 1 Peter 5, very well known from 5 to 7. Likewise, younger people, I think most of us here qualify. Young, yes, we're still young. Likewise, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Okay, there's a lot in there, but it speaks of us submitting to one another, to submitting to our elders, our leaders, but also submitting to one another. And that's what I'm also part of, walking in the light, walking in a place where you're transparent, where there are people that can walk with you and say, you know what, Jez, that thing that you that's going on, or the amount of time that you're spending on your motorbike, or whatever it is, you know, that we can be transparent in a way that can other people can look into our lives and say, Yaki, you know what, your family, you need to spend more time with your family, or whatever it may be, to a place that we can be submissive to one another. And then along with that, clothe the humility. And again, a very powerful, God resists the proud. God comes against the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And that is what we need to change. That is what we need to grow. We need grace. We need that grace. We need that provision from God. Okay? And then, again, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and that He may exalt you in due time. And I want to just encourage you guys, you're working or studying, or trusting God for progress in your career or whatever you're doing, if you humble yourself and if you humble yourself before God and submit to the people that God has put over you, He will exalt you in due time. He will bring promotion. He will bring whatever He has prepared for you, but He will bring it, okay? It's not for us to make it happen and force and strive and, you know. It's really a place of humility. And then casting our care upon Him, for He cares for you. Maybe that's for somebody this morning. Carrying a weight of cares, carrying a weight of a burden to bring it before Him and leave it at the cross. Okay, well, I'm going to get distracted though. But so we've looked at pride that can stand in the way. And we've looked at a place of humility, walking in humility instead of pride. Humbling ourselves before the Lord. Now let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36. From verse 24. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out from all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, that you, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Verse 28, then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Very, very powerful promises we see here. And this, I believe, is part of what God wants to help us with this morning, is for us to work with him and work in the process of what he wants to do in our lives. We cannot have a hard heart. And I just felt, preparing, that this is part of the thing that happens when we've been around the block a few times, you've been in and out of church, and you've had relationship with people let us down, right? God doesn't, but people do. So then there's an opportunity, there's a temptation. What often happens is there's a hardness of heart that comes in. It's not, again, it's not a decision that you make, but it's over time. We don't even realize it's happening, but our hearts become hardened. And it's as if we're not as receptive for the word anymore, like we were. And we're not as receptive from people of what God wants to say, because we got hurt, right? So it's understandable. But I just felt God wants to give each of us, again, wants to remove the hardness of heart, wants to remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Sensitive to what he's doing, receptive to what he wants to say, receptive to what he wants to do in us. And again, guys, there's a provision for that, okay? And if you know this is you and there's a bit of a hardness that has kept him, maybe hurt has happened through many things, know this morning that God has made provision for that. Amen? For every hardness to be removed and for softness to return, a sensitivity to his voice. But part of that is trust. And I believe there's a grace this morning for us to trust him. And I'm just getting ahead of myself a bit. Another thing that keeps us from change and keeps us from it makes us resist change is fear. Okay, and I remember coming back to the Air Force. Now this is from a different angle, but I remember when doing the officers training, we right at the beginning of the officers course, they take us out for about 24 to 36 hours and full kit, and basically what they try to do is they try to make the numbers less, so they try to have you crack up, so they put immense pressure on us physically and emotionally, mentally, on every way that you can imagine. And for about 24 to 36 hours, you obviously don't sleep, you eat very little, and you do extreme physical things and also mental stuff in between as well. And I remember one specific thing was quite hectic. I mean, the guys at one stage, people were passing out from exhaustion. You know, we were doing route marches in the dark at night, and we had to kind of hold on to each other because guys were just kind of walking into the bush and falling over just for exhaustion. But nobody died, don't worry. But the one thing that I remember specifically was that every time the physical training instructors came, they would take the physical stuff to the extreme, and they would kind of have like these time slots, and in between we'll do all kinds of other stuff as well. But every time they came, we could see their car coming, and then they could feel this like dread coming over the group, knowing, oh goodness, it's them again, you know. And I realized, kind of looking at it objectively, I realized the big fear there, because, I mean, they couldn't really hurt us. They couldn't really do anything. But this, the big fear was we didn't know what was going to come next. It's just the fear of the unknown. The fear of, I'm not in control, and I don't know what's going to come next. Are you with me? And then I found in our relationship with the Lord is similar. It's not exactly the same, but it's the fear of the unknown and the fear of not being in control that often has us resist what God wants to do. So I believe there's grace for us this morning to say, okay, Lord, I don't know what's coming next. I don't know what's lying around the corner. But I want to trust you with that. I don't want to be afraid of what's coming ahead. I don't know what God has prepared for me for this year, for next year. I'm not sure. I know God's giving me glimpses, maybe. God has given me words. But there's something in us that kind of is afraid sometimes of letting go, of trusting God. You know, it's literally like stepping, you know, moving over from the driver's seat into the passenger seat. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm nervous when other people drive. So those of you that drive, there's an invisible brake pedal on the left side of the car. Do you know that? It doesn't work, no. You don't know about it. My car has one. So when other people drive and I'm getting nervous, there's this... No, other right foot. I sometimes brake. In any case. And it's like that. It's with God. Sometimes we think, okay, Lord, no, this is way too fast. I want to try and push the brake now. Or, whoa, this is crazy. We're going the wrong direction. And I really trust this morning there's a place for us to receive grace, to trust Him. Amen. To say, Lord, I know that you are good. I know that my life is in your hands. I know that whatever is good and perfect comes from you. Amen. And you have the best on your heart for me. It might not look like the best from where I'm sitting. And I'm experiencing this more and more with my little girl now, with Abigail. What she reckons is best and what I know is best are two different things. Okay? Because vision, she's this high. She's quite tall for her age, but from where she is at, the world looks completely different. But from where I stand, I can see things that she can't. This is just a very simple example. But I know what's best for her. I'm learning to know. But even though she doesn't receive it in that way, she reckons, why can't I have just... eat sweets all day, or, you know, why can't I just stay awake all night, or whatever, you know. In the same way, I need to trust God. You know, you see the beginning from the end, you know everything, you know exactly what you've prepared for me, you know what's best, and I need to trust you with that. Amen. So there's a fear of the unknown, and I felt the word that God gave me this morning is that there's a safe place that He has for you. It's safe. It's a place where He's in charge. It's a place where He's driving and He's calling the shots. And it's a safe place that He has for you, that He's prepared for you. But that's a place where you trust Him and where you allow His timing to go ahead as He's planned. Amen? Are you with me this morning? There's a safe place. Okay? The other fear that we have is a fear of rejection. You know, if I come with this stuff to God, if I know I must deal with this issue, but if I come with it, you know, this is so bad, or if I tell anybody this is so bad, people are going to run, they're going to reject me. They don't know what I've been up to. You know, I've come from a rough background, or I've done terrible things, or I don't want people to meet my family, whatever. We've all got these things, or we're scared people are going to reject us if they know these things about us. But again, there's a safe place where God says, come to me with that stuff. I know about them in any case. You know, there's like this room in your house, you know, I don't know how it works at your place, you just live, but how often do we prepare the front room and it's clean, it's beautiful, because when we have visitors coming, then they can sit there and everything looks amazing, but then at the back there, you know, you haven't gotten around to that yet, and it's... don't want anybody to go there, you know. Maybe it's not like that in your house, but we've got one or two spots with storeroom there at the back that I'd rather not have anybody. But in our lives, sometimes it's like that. You know, we make it pretty for God, in the front, but then there's this one room. There's a lot of hurt there. There's a lot of filth there, and we don't want God to go there because we're scared he's going to reject us. It's not like that, okay? He knows about it already. And I just feel, again, there's grace this morning. There's a safe place for you to open the door and say, God, I need you to come in here. I need you to be Lord over this area of my life. And I know I can trust you. I can trust you with this hurt. I can trust you with, even though the healing process will be painful sometimes, I can trust you. Amen? Are you still with me? Okay. Good. Okay, so we've looked at pride, we've looked at fear, a fear of the unknown, a fear of rejection, a fear of not being in control, right? But there's a good place, a safe place that God has prepared for us. And I found is that place where God is completely in charge and control. That's the safest place. Is that place where I don't have a plan B and a plan C? Have you ever been there? You know, if God doesn't come through now, it's tickets. I don't have a credit card to fall back on, or you know, whatever the situation is. You know, listen, I'm not getting out of this unless God does something. It's a good place, guys. And you know what? God will never forsake you. Sometimes, again, the picture in our mind doesn't that it work? Doesn't work like we thought it would. But God will make provision. Amen. He will make a way. And now there's another thing that is a challenge, and I want to throw out there is comfort. I'm comfortable here where I am. I'm comfortable with the way things are. I'm comfortable with my small group. I'm comfortable with church. I'm even comfortable with my, you know, where I'm at in my work. I'm not so keen about growing because this is good here where I'm now. And there's an apathy that comes in sometimes where we subconsciously, again, we resist what God wants to do because we are attached to something, the place where we are now, relationships where we are now. Sometimes even negative things in our lives that we've gotten so accustomed to that they feel part of us. That one house, that one room in your house, you don't even see it. Sometimes we don't even realize it's dirty anymore. I'm comfortable here. This is what I'm used to. It's like, when you have tiles in your house, in your flat or wherever you stay, that's not so regular. It's not so, maybe, yeah, in South Africa we have lots more tiles because it's hot there. In any case, what it happens sometimes is that it cracks, right? A tile would crack. And then for the first week, it bugs you, this thing. And then you stop noticing it. And after a while, it just breaks to pieces, the tile, and then it's just this like gaping hole, and you don't even see it anymore. And often in life, it's the same. We're so used to that thing there. We're comfortable with it. We don't recognize, but actually, God has got something better for me. He wants to take me forward. He wants me to grow. But I'm chilling here, you know. Okay, that's not you guys. I know you guys are going for it. But let's be aware of that, right? Because that thing, that apathy that creeps in, keeps us from walking in the abundance of life that God has for you and I. I'll tell you now, this side of eternity, I suppose other side as well, abundance of life and comfort and it doesn't go together. Are you with me? Contentment, yes, good. But in a place of apathy, and that doesn't really gel with what God wants to do. If you look at how God speaks about the kingdom coming, and there's a power that advances. There's one kingdom that advances. There's another kingdom that gives way. There's no chance to, there's no real place of just apathy. If you're being apathetic, you've kind of almost chosen against God. Okay, let me just throw that out there. Okay, but there's God against that, okay? So we've looked at Ezekiel 36, and we've seen that there's grace that God wants to give us, a new heart and a new spirit. Okay, a soft heart, ready to do what he, ready to receive his word, ready to run, ready to work with him. And then there's one last thing that I want to touch on that that keeps us from that kind of almost resists change, and that is, it's either it's deception or a lack of knowledge or a combination of the two. Okay, and I'll explain what I mean. So, and this kind of ties in with all the ones that I've mentioned from above. Okay, firstly, deception is where, or when we lose sight of, or when we are ignorant of, in other words, deception or lack of knowledge. It's when we lose sight of, or when we're ignorant of, the promises of God for us and what he has in store for us. And that's why if you're being apathetic and you're just chilling, or you're just kind of not growing, it's often because you're not aware of what God has prepared. Do you reckon, oh, this is fine? Or you that one room, that ugly room, and that hurt, that where there's pain in your life, and you reckon, oh, well, maybe this is just the way it is. It's because you don't know the healing that God has prepared for you, the abundance of life that he has prepared for you, the promises that he has for you. Are you with me? So it's either we lose sight of it and we've forgotten the promises of God, or we're not even aware. I want to say to us guys, I want trusting this morning for a boldness again to look at the scripture to say, yes, God, I want that. I want to be free. I want to have fullness of life. I want to see people saved. I want to see souls come to Christ. I want to see my family saved. I want to see my community transformed. I want to see that you have prepared for me. Yeah, such a powerful picture. I mentioned it a couple of weeks or months ago, where God takes Moses on top of the mountain and he shows him the promised land. He says, that's where they're going. He shows him, that's the promise right there. Can you see it? Some of us need to again say, Lord, I want to see. I want to take me up there. Some of us need to get quiet with God and say, Lord, show me what you prepared for my family. Show me your promise for my workplace. Your workplace is blessed because you're there, guys. Your family is blessed because you're there, because God is with you. Trust God again to open your eyes, to see the promise, to see for the freedom for which Christ has set us free. You know what? If I don't know that, then I'm okay. I'll just sit and I'll chill here, and I'll just idle. I'll just kind of be ticking over day in, day out. I'll just survive until Jesus comes back. No. It's like having a Ferrari, like I said. Having a huge red Ferrari in your garage. Maybe I should use a different example. Lots of ladies here. And you now and again, you sit in the car and you kind of just play with the steering wheel like my daughter does. She just kind of stands on the front seat and she goes... Yeah, and you have this Ferrari and that's about it. That's the most fun you're getting out of it. It's like God says, I've got abundance of life for you out there. Jesus died for this. I paid a big price for this. This is the highest price you can pay. And now you're just sitting there and there's a blank check. I've given you a blank check. And you're busy looking for change on the pavement. Okay, so when we lose sight of the promise of God, when we're ignorant of the promise of God, that keeps us where we are at. We don't want to grow. We don't want to go forward. We don't want to see, because we don't know what he has prepared for us. But I'll say to you again, allow God to show you what he has prepared. Allow God to show you the freedom for which he has set you free. Allow God to show you, give you a glimpse of the promise that he has for you, the plan. I just feel there's somebody here this morning that, I'm struggling with, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my plan? What's God's plan for me? I will say to you, God has got a plan for you to impact people. We are part of his plan. Okay. I want to close with a scripture from Mark chapter 9, from verse 17-27. Read with me. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down and foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when they saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if he can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to a deaf and dumb spirit, "I command you, come out of him and into him no more." And the spirit cried out, convulsing greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And he was fine. He was healed. He was delivered. So I just want to look at one or two things here. Okay, this is not a pretty story, right? This is pretty scary stuff. This is actually, if you were the father of this boy, maybe he's ashamed. Maybe he doesn't want to take his boy out because of this stuff happening. What will people say? What will people think of my little boy? What will people think of me? And it's like that dark room at the back of your house, the back of your life. What will people say if they know about this? How will God respond when I tell him about this? But let's see how God responds, how Christ responds. He says, he hears about it and he says, "Bring him to me. Bring him here, come now. Bring him to me." Just don't make it pretty. Don't dress it up. Just bring him to me now. And he deals with it, and he delivers the boy. It might not be pretty there at the moment, but he's free afterwards. He's almost dead, but he's alive. And then I want to just close with this. See what the dad says here. He says, because Jesus says to him, "Listen, if you believe, it's possible. Anything is possible to him that believes." And you can see the father, he's crying, he's weeping, he so desperately wants his son to be healed. And he says, "Lord, I believe. But there's a part of me that still doesn't believe. There's a part of me that still, there's some unbelief." And he says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And God, and Jesus responds. I want to say to you, if you're there this morning, you know God can restore. You know you can grow. You know God can deliver you, and he can take you forward, and he can take you to the promise that he has for you. But there's a part of you that is still fearful. There's a part of you that still doesn't believe in this grace this morning to say, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." There's grace for you to be honest with God and say, "Lord, this is where I'm at. But take me forward from you. I want to take what you have for me. I want to take that freedom. But I'm a little bit afraid. Yeah, take my fear. Take my shame. Take my guilt. I believe, but I need your grace for this bit." Please stand with me this morning. We're going to pray together. As I mentioned at the beginning, let's just close our eyes. Let's bring our hearts before the Lord. As I said at the beginning, while every eye is closed, our first step in a process of growth and a process of change and a process of becoming like Christ is to come to salvation, is to come and receive the ultimate gift, receive the payment, receive that great price that Christ paid on the cross for you and I. That is the first step. That is when we come into a place of relationship with the King of Kings. That's when we come into a place of entering into the kingdom of heaven and seeing the transformation start, seeing the kingdom come in our lives, and also seeing the kingdom come through our lives. And if you're standing here this morning and you have a desire for the kingdom to come in your life, but you know that you have not been born again, you know that you have not accepted that gift of salvation, you have not responded to what Jesus has done on the cross, then where you're standing here this morning and you have a desire to receive that gift this morning, you have a desire to make your peace with God and to accept His gift of salvation, to say, yes, God, I want to receive that. If that's you this morning, with every eye closed in this place, if that's you and you know this morning I want to receive that gift, I want to have a relationship with the Father, if that's you, if you could just show me with your hand, if you could just indicate to me by lifting up your hand, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Thank you. Is there anybody else this morning? Okay, if you've lifted your hand, you can drop it again. While your eyes closed, I want us to pray together. And just again, receive that gift that God has given to us. And respond to His love. So I'm going to pray, and I want us to loudly just to pray together, everybody. Is that okay? While we close our eyes, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that I can confess today. I humble myself and I confess that I am a sinner. And Lord, I cannot save myself. And this morning, I thank you, Jesus, that you paid for my sin. I thank you, Lord, that you sent your only Son to take my punishment. And this morning, I receive that gift of salvation in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord, and that God has raised Him from the dead, and that He is my Lord and my Savior and my King. I bow the knee before you, Lord. I thank you that I have everlasting life. I thank you that from this moment I have relationship with you. And I can hear your voice. And I can respond to your grace. And that you hear me, Lord. I thank you for the plan that you have for me. For the purpose for my life. I thank you that I can receive the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And the fullness of life that you have for me, Lord. And I receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just one or two things I also want to pray for. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you've shown us some things, God, that help make us resistant to change, resistant to growth, Lord. Now we just humbly come, Father. We humble our hearts before you, Lord. We humble ourselves. And we say, God, thank you that there's grace for us to change. There's grace for us to grow. There's grace even when we have a bit of unbelief, Lord. And if you've, well, if your eyes still closed, if you've experienced that maybe there's some fear in your life, or there's some apathy, or we've looked at different things. There's some pride in your life, and there's sometimes God's provision comes, and you're not as you thought it would be. You're struggling to receive from people, struggling to receive from God. Or if you want to believe, but there's still a bit of doubt this morning. If any of those things, or if God is specifically, if just know you need to respond to this word, if you could just also just raise your hands to God this morning. I just want to pray for specific people this morning. So where you're at, if you want to just respond to God. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning that you have grace for us to trust you this morning in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that we can bring every fear before you, God. Lord, that we choose to humble ourselves before you this morning. We lay down every burden of fear, Lord, every burden of guilt, every burden of the fear of the unknown, or fear of rejection, or fear of not being in charge or in control, Father. We bring before you our pride, Lord. We lay it down, God, in Jesus' name. We bring before you our doubts, Lord, and our unbelief, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that we can, lay down all these things before you, God. And we thank you, even our hardness of heart, Lord. We repent of hardness of heart and we bring it before you, God. And I thank you, Jesus, this morning, as your promise says, that you give us a new heart, a new spirit, that you remove the heart of stone and you give us a heart of flesh again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for that right now. And we take your promise, we take you by your word, Lord, and we receive a new heart, God, a heart of flesh again, in the name of Jesus. A heart that is sensitive to your word, Lord, is soft to hear and to receive, God, in the name of Jesus. Soft to respond when you call us, God. Call us out of our comfort, call us out of our apathy, call us out of our fear to a place of liberty, God, to a place of freedom. In Jesus' name, I thank you this morning for that we can trust you, God. This grace, God, to get over our fear of rejection, to open the door even to the smallest, the darkest places of our lives, God. I say, God, come in here. I need your light in here. I need your saving grace in this area of my life. I need your provision, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right now, just for grace to open our hearts. And if there's a specific thing that you need to bring before God this morning that you've never had the guts or never had the faith to bring before him this morning, I just feel this grace now just to say it. Don't worry about the person next to you. Just soft it by yourself. Just say, Lord, I trust you with this. It could be in your own life. It could be for somebody else. It could be for your family. Just bring it before God right now. Say, Lord, I could never bring this before you, but now I bring it before you, Lord. Just where you're at, just bring it before him. Thank you, Father, that you hear every heart. Thank you that you've made provision for every situation. And thank you that you receive us, Lord. Even though it's not pretty, Lord, there's hurt, there's pain. Sometimes there's stuff happening that's not pretty, Lord. But thank you this morning at this grace that you say, come to me, bring him to me, come to me. And that we can receive your grace and your provision for every situation, Lord. And you. I just thank you, Lord. I just feel God says to every one of you, I receive you. I accept you. You are my beloved. I love you. I've paid a price for you. I care for you. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Right now, we just command weights to lift off shoulders in the name of Jesus. Burdens to come off shoulders now in Jesus' name. Fears to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for grace to trust you, Lord. Even though we do not know, even though we don't have the answers, even though we do not know what comes ahead, to be excited because we trust you, because we know that you've got amazing things prepared for us, because you know you love. We know you love us, because you know there's a promise that you have for us, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Let your kingdom come in us, Lord. Let your kingdom come through our lives, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And thank you for fruit of this word in our lives, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for your time this morning. If you want to pray some more, if you need to respond to the word some more, please step forward and come pray with us. If you have any prayer need, God has made a way for you. Amen. And specifically, if you responded to the word, please come to the front. I'd love to pray with you. Amen. Or some of us, not only me, some of us will pray with you. Okay? God bless you. Have some refreshments at the back. But if you have any prayer need, don't leave with that prayer need. Okay? God has made provision for you right now. Amen. Thank you.